1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, we continue our study of this book. And this morning we're going to cover the first five verses. Tonight we will finish the chapter, but you understand that is, maybe we'll finish the chapter, right? I know we have business meeting tonight, but tonight we'll do a little summary of the rest of the chapter is my intent. So this morning, looking at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be found, that I should be judged by you or by human courts. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving, thankful, Lord, for your word, whereby we may grow. I pray this morning that you will instruct us, Lord, that you will speak to hearts, that you will draw all men to you, and that your will would be done in this service. To you be all glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now I know this was written, of course, to the apostle, or it was written by the apostle Paul, and he's talking about himself there, but I want us to get in the mindset that this doesn't just apply only to the apostle Paul. This applies to all of us. Okay? When we talk about being servant stewards, it applies to me, it applies to you, it applies to any child of God. Alright? So we're going to start here with Paul's opening statement when he says, let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The first thing we want to do is understand what the word servant means. That's not, the Greek word is not slave, that's doulos. This word actually means an underling. Someone who is under the authority or control, authority and control of another. That's the idea of this servant that Paul is talking about. And the reason that he brings this out is that he wants everyone to know that Jesus has the right to tell him what to do, how to do it, and where he should do it. That is not just a Paul thing. Jesus has the right, and when you understand being a servant, you have to adopt this to yourself. Jesus has the right to tell you what to do, how to do it, and where to do it. If you're going to be under the control of Jesus. Now for the Apostle Paul, that started in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus, and he was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. And he had been empowered or given authority of the Sanhedrin of that day. And he was going there, and his intent was to drag Christians out of that city and even kill them. And when he was on that road to Damascus, he was struck down. He says he saw a bright light, in Acts chapter 9, and he was struck down with blindness. And as he was blinded, he was asked the question, Saul, which was Paul's name at that time, why are you persecuting me? So Paul said, who are you? And that voice responded, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And you know what the next thing Paul said was? Lord, what would you have me to do? Now that sounds very Bible-y, I know. Right? If Bible-y is such a word. Churchy, maybe. But that word, Lord, that's not just a word. When Paul used that word, he surrendered himself, everything about him, because that word means owner. When Paul said, Lord, he said, Jesus, okay, you now own me. You can tell me to do whatever, wherever, however you want me to do it. From that point forward, there was nothing that the Apostle Paul held back from Jesus. Now, it's at this point that I want everyone here to just stop and think for just a moment. Myself included. You see, the problem today is that people want to go to heaven, but they don't want Jesus to be Lord. You don't get one without the other. You can walk down an aisle. You can put your name on a church roll. You can be a good person. But the idea of believing in Jesus Christ is when you surrender yourself to the authority of Jesus Christ. Wherever, whatever, however He wants you to do. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, you can be a believer and Jesus not be Lord. I don't know. I can't come to grips with that statement. Perhaps I know how I am. There have been different times I wanted to hold things back and say, okay, Lord, I'll do this, but leave this alone. Jesus is not Lord if you do that. Okay, Lord, I'll preach, but I won't pastor churches. I've shared that with you. That was my mentality for a long time, right? Jesus is not Lord. If you put conditions on the service. And today, I want you to understand. Yes, okay, I'll come to grips. We all have those times where we hold back from God. But you understand when you do that, you're saying, no, Lord, this is off limits to you. That's not a servant. That's someone who is in control. And Jesus is either Lord or He's not. He's not in between. Never was He meant to be in between. You are intended, when Jesus saves you, you were intended to be subject to His authority and His control. And not only subject to His authority and His control as a servant, but a steward. That word steward, it means manager. A household manager was the common use of that word in that day. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. The word mysteries, it means the unknown things of God. Paul's mission in his life was to declare to the world the things that the world did not know about God. That was his ministry. That was his mission. What were those things? Of course, there was salvation. God's salvation plan that was established before the foundation of the world. Paul taught churches how to be churches. He taught them doctrine. Paul even taught prophecy. But Paul had been called and gifted to share the unknown things of God with people. And that's what he did. Right? Now, if you are a servant, and if you're a believer, you should be a servant. Then you are also a steward. And as a steward, I want you to understand, you may not be a pastor, you may not be a preacher, but you are something. You are called to something. God did not save you because you just look good. God did not save you because of who your parents are. God saved you and He has a plan for your life. And He has gifted you to carry out that plan. That's the idea of being a faithful steward. You know, we're not intended to be depositories of God's grace. We're intended to be dispensers of God's grace. Yes, He pours out His grace upon us. But it's not intended that we just sit there and receive it. It's that grace flow through us. Now let's stop and let's think for just a moment. Paul was talking about himself as an apostle, as a teacher of the mysteries of God. But let me ask you, what are you? I believe with all my heart God has gifted every believer in here to be a steward of His grace. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are just servants that you serve. Some of you are helpers, some of you are encouragers, but beloved, you are something if you are a believer. He has gifted you. And you are responsible to be a steward, a manager of what God has gifted you with. In other words, pass it on. Pass it on. As a servant steward, not only are you gifted and not only has God set you in a position to administer the gifts that He's given you, it is required of a servant, of a steward, that a man be found faithful. You know what the word require means? It means expected. It means demanded. It means it's not an option. What's not an option? That this steward be faithful, reliable, if you will. To put that in plain language, Paul is saying it's expected of a steward for him to do his job. Do what God calls you to do. I pause here because I'm reminded, I've often heard during my years of pastoring what people are going to do one of these days. One of these days, I'm going to, and you fill in the blank. I've heard people say, one of these days, when I retire, I'm going to be more faithful in church, or I'm going to teach that class, or I'm going to do this at church. One of these days. What makes you think God has set you where you are for one of these days? You're here for the right here and the right now. And that's part of being reliable. That's part of being a faithful steward of what God has given you. And listen, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's not even fun. Sometimes you don't even want to do what you need to do. It's not always exciting. You know, everything in churches today seems to be lights and action and excitement. It's not always exciting serving. But it's always required that you serve. That you be that channel of blessing, if you will, of what God has given you. You make sure it's flowing out onto others. And then you have to understand not only that you're required to be faithful, but you have to understand who you're accountable to. What I'm talking about. Who's going to judge if you're faithful or not? Paul said there in verse 3, he said, with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Now, I want you to understand, Paul's not being an arrogant smart aleck. He's making a point that every servant steward needs to know. And you need to get this. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, music director, if you serve on committee, you need to get this. Okay? When Paul said it is a very small thing, literally that was one Greek word and it means insignificant. And so, Paul's saying what someone thinks of your ministry cannot determine how you minister. And the reason is this. Some are going to criticize. What are you going to do? There will be some who do not like how you do what you do. And so they're going to criticize. And they can be harsh. Even mean. You know, you'd never think God's people could be mean. We're not capable of that, are we? Yes, we are. God's people can criticize. At the same time, God's people, some will praise you. God's people can also be nice, can't they? And I've discovered something in preaching. I'm not nearly as good as some have made me out to be on occasion. You know, and what I'm talking about is, after the message, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate this so very much, but after the message, people come through and say, man, I enjoyed that. I appreciate that message. And it's good to be encouraging, I'm not saying. But I've discovered I cannot take that too terribly seriously, because bottom line is, a lot of the time, people are just being nice. That maybe I didn't do quite as good a job as I thought I did. And they're just being nice. That's what God's people do. And that's okay. I'm not saying don't do that. Right? No. But Paul here, he's trying to give the servant steward a real view of his ministry. You can't take criticism too personally, because if you serve, somebody's going to criticize. At the same time, you can't take the praise of man too personally, because you get all swelled up and proud and nobody can put up with you anymore. You see, you're not justified by public opinion. It isn't a popularity contest. Paul said, not only do I consider, you know, the praise or criticism, whatever, of man, it's not that big a deal. He said, I don't even judge myself. Now you would say, that's arrogance. No, it's not. It's just plain truth. And I'll tell you why Paul didn't judge himself. What would it look like if Paul had judged his ministry? Well, you'd go back and you'd weigh out everything that you'd done in the past, right? And you look at Paul's ministry, everywhere he went, he was ran out of town. They didn't like him. He had to leave for fear of his life everywhere he went. He was stoned at Lystra. Now, that's a bad message. I don't care who, what preacher you are. They stone you. That wasn't a good message, right? He was stoned at Lystra. He was beaten and put in prison at Philippi. He even had Silas with him. And you know what? Above all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God, Lord, please take this away. Not once, not twice, but three times, Paul said, please, Lord, take this thorn away. And you know what God said? No. No. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Now, if that had been us, we would have backed up and looked at our ministry and said, you know, I've just not been successful. And if Paul had judged his ministry based upon all that stuff, you know what he'd probably done? He'd probably quit. Because I just don't feel like I'm doing any good, and I've had some bad experiences, and you know, and he would have quit. But you know what? If Paul had quit, how many hundreds or even thousands of people would have never heard the gospel message preached by Paul? How many people would not have been saved? How many churches would not have had a start? And perhaps most importantly, half or more of the New Testament we would not have. Because Paul didn't judge his ministry and say, I'm not being effective, I'm going to quit. See, that, like I say, it wasn't arrogance. And you have to be careful as a servant steward not to judge yourself and be critical and be harsh in that manner and say, well, I'm not being effective. You're not your judge. nor is people your judge. So who is your judge? Paul said, he who judges me is the Lord. Now there's a great accountability there. The Lord, once again, being the owner. The one who owns me, bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary. You see, it is the Lord who has called you. It is the Lord who will judge you. And so make no mistake, you will be accountable, but not to man, but to God. Right? Because he says in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Judge nothing before the time. That word, the time, the phrase, it means the appointed time. Do you realize God has blessed you? He's given you abilities. He's given you opportunity to minister. You are to be a servant steward. But there's coming an appointed day that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, accountable for the gifts, the opportunities, the abilities that God has given you as a servant steward. What will you hear on that day? You see, I'm so glad that it's God that's going to be doing the judging. Because He sees things the way that they really are. When we stand before Jesus on the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no excuse. There will be only truth. He says in verse 5, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. See, this is where it gets really serious. When you stand on the judgment seat of Christ, or stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to tell you what's not going to happen. You're not going to be compared to anyone else. You're not going to be compared. You're going to say, well, here's Doug Hambrick and here's you. That's not going to be the comparison. That's not going to be the judgment. God's not going to base your judgment upon Doug Hambrick, upon them or anyone else. He's going to judge you according to the truth. And that truth, when He says He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, you know what that means? He's talking about the hidden sins. Darkness is always deal with things not affiliated with God. He's talking about the hidden sins that we think nobody else knows. The excuses that we've made through the years to justify ourselves and just whatever. But He's going to bring that to light. He's going to say, why didn't you? I gave you the opportunity. Yeah, but Lord, I was working 50 hours a week. I gave you the opportunity. Yeah, but Lord, I was a young man at that time. I didn't. And He reveals and then He shows you why you truly did not. You see, I can make excuses and justify myself before you and you before me. But there will only be truth on that judgment seat of Christ when we as believers stand before Him and He reveals the things, the hidden things of darkness. Not only that, He even goes a step forward farther when He says, and He reveal the counsels of the heart. Whew, there are some of us that don't want that revealed, isn't there? I'll be honest with you. My heart's not always right. Through the years. He's going to say, why did you do what you did? What was in your heart when you were serving? Did you do it for the praise of men? Did you do it to impress someone? Did you do it for personal gain? Oh, I can gain out of this. That's not motivation. You see, we serve for the glory of God. And when you get that in the forefront of your eyes, you'll understand that that's the only way you'll keep going. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul for just a moment. As I said, everything that could have happened to Paul did. He had every reason to quit, every reason to, I'm not doing this anymore. But you know what? When he got to the end of his life, what did he say? I have run the race. I have finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The only way you'll finish the race is when you are a servant steward of God and you make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's the only way. You know, otherwise, you'll quit. You'll get tired of it. You'll get sick of it. It's the only thing that'll keep you going. But here's the glorious part. The end of verse 5. Then each one's praise will come from God. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and hearing the words, you know that person you witnessed to? That you were kind of disappointed because they weren't saved when you witnessed to them. But what you did, you planted a seed and 5 years later they were saved. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Amen. You know that child that you taught in Sunday school? Sunday after Sunday, that child that was out of control, but you put up with him. And you kept teaching him. When he was a teenager, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior because you planted the seed. Don't you want to hear stuff like that? That person that you encouraged that was so downhearted and you didn't think it was a big deal. You just patted him on the back that day, said, I'm praying for you, I love you. And that person was this close to quitting. But your encouragement gave them that extra strength that they needed to get through that moment. And they faithfully served you the rest of their life. See, that's the things we want to hear when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The idea of this message, my friends, is to remind you, we're all servant stewards. We all have our own areas of service and our own different callings. I preach, others teach, others minister in different ways. Beloved, take Paul's words to heart here. Keep serving. If you're not serving, start serving. If you'll notice, servant surveys went out today. Please fill those out. You can do it online or you can do it from the bulletin. But please fill them out. Say, Brother Doug, I'm already serving. I'm happy where I am. Put it on there. Write it down and say, I'm happy where I am. Leave me alone. I'm serving. Now, good. We won't mess with you. But if you're not serving, tell us where God has gifted you so that we can give you the opportunity to be a faithful servant steward. Fill that servant survey out for us, please. You are here to serve. As a child of God, you are accountable to serve. Are you serving? That's the question. Now, you may be here today and you don't quite get this message because you don't belong to the Lord. you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Let me share with you how to do that. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth because you're a sinner. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everyone present here today. All have sinned and come short. Right? That means your relationship with God has been broken. What are you going to do about it? Well, the Bible says that Jesus gave His life as a sacrifice for your sins, so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified upon the cross of Calvary. He was laid in the grave. He rose from the grave after 3 days, and today He's seated at the right hand of God, waiting for your prayer to call upon Him. If you will call, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called? Have you made Him the Lord of your life? If not, this invitation's for you. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved. You've not been serving. It's time for rededication. Whatever the spiritual need is today, will you answer God's call? Heavenly Father, I pray in this invitation, Your will be done. I thank You for the joy and the privilege to serve. Father, help us all to be faithful stewards. For we know we will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be accountable for the life that You have given us. May that be a joyful event. Father, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.